WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
Sorry, Arlington Heights. It looks like the Bears want to stay the Chicago Bears after all. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. After exploring suburban options, the Chicago Bears plan to invest $2 billion into a new publicly owned stadium that'll be on the Chicago beachfront and could include free plazas and walkways. Plus, the mayor and his administration continue to struggle to keep migrants housed and safe at shelters. Two more measles cases were identified at a city shelter, bringing the total to five. We caught up with Tessa Weinberg and Mariah Wolfel, WBEZ city government and politics reporters, on the latest on those and other local stories. Here's Tessa on the measles outbreak at the migrant shelters in Chicago's Pilsen neighborhood.
Yesterday, there were two more cases identified in that Pilsen shelter. That's a shelter housing migrants who are staying in the city. So there's five confirmed cases total. Four have been from that shelter, two among adults, two among kids, one of whom was a CPS student who was enrolled in school and classes. And this has been the first time in 5 years that the city has seen measles cases reported.
Wow.
They quickly, you know, have been going to work at that specific shelter. Over the weekend, there was more than 900 vaccinations given to folks, and some of that was even from volunteers who, for the first time, volunteer medical providers were able to actually go into the shelter and be able to help with that work. And mm-hmm. they've never previously been allowed to enter. So the city's really tapping partners and resources to try to quickly vaccinate folks or try and learn, have you previously gotten the vaccination, but do you maybe not have documentation with you?
Right.
And they're also now ensuring that at the landing zone, which is where folks, when they're just arriving to the city off of buses, are now directed, that now they have a presence there to try and vaccinate folks. They've been moving some folks who are at risk out of shelter and trying to now start to do screenings and vaccinations throughout the shelter system.
Yeah.
Since Goodness. We're seeing this spread, it's a very
Sounds
highly
like a
contagious
mad
disease.
Scramble.
Yes.
Almost,
definitely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear from one of these medical professionals. You spoke with the medical advisor for the mobile migrant health team working at the migrant shelters. That's Dr. Evelyn Figueroa. Here's a little bit of what she had to say.
The hard part about measles, like COVID, is that it lingers in the air. And measles lingers in the air for 2 hours after that person's been in that environment. So you're in this congregate setting and it's just a perfect storm. People are sleeping very close to each other. There's a little bit of space, but it's not very much space. It's like a giant slumber party. So that means that the people that are in that perimeter are very at risk unless they are vaccinated, and most people aren't. You don't reach that magic number for how many people in the building should be vaccinated. It can be catastrophic.
Yeah, every story I hear about the conditions, it just sounds so chaotic, mm-hmm. Tessa. I understand CDC is sending a team today to Chicago?
Yeah, CDC is sending folks and experts to try to help the city with its response. And yeah, that shelter is one of, you know, it is the largest in the city. The most recent data is earlier this month. It was housing over 2,000 people. So it's very crowded. It's the same shelter where we saw a five-year-old boy die last year due to sepsis. And that is something, as she was noting too, of how crowded and it can take a while, you know, also for the, if you've just been vaccinated, for this to fully go into effect. And so they've been asking, you know, shelter residents who were newly vaccinated and just got vaccinated to quarantine for 21 days. But Dr. Figueroa was saying, you know, that's a very scary prospect for some folks who, you know, have jobs and maybe just finally secured a job. Mm-hmm. And she was saying, she was talking to one man who said, I don't care. I will sleep outside on a piece of cardboard. I cannot lose my job. I finally got my job. This is what we came to this country for and risked our life. I can't,
wow.
I can't do this.
Yeah, so no, this is a lot. Yeah, I remember getting the emails on Friday and over the weekend as a CPS parent, just kind of alerting me of measles cases. I mean, is the school district vaccinating kids to?
Yeah, they've been, working with CDPH, and CDPH had advised, migrants who have been staying in that shelter to not only, be limiting their movement if they can, if they're newly vaccinated, but to also be keeping school-aged children, at home, not sending them to school. The case Sunday of a second child was a CPS student. The district says they're trying to encourage folks to get vaccinated if they haven't. They estimate they have welcomed about 5,700 newcomers to the district.
Yeah.
And so we'll see, if there's more cases that arise and more students and what kind of happens.
All right, let's switch gears, Mariah. Sounds like a new stadium plans that they would have Chicago Bears remain in Chicago and not head to Arlington Heights.
Yeah, the Bears are vowing to put $2 billion into what they're calling would be a publicly owned stadium, and this would be south of Soldier Field. The plan would also, according to a statement from the Bears, create 20% more open space than exists now. So that could be like public plazas, green space, landscaping that would increase, public access to the lakefront. It would get rid of most of the existing Soldier Field except the historic war memorial and other historic pieces of Soldier Field that would not be torn down. But there are many, many questions remaining for both the Bears and the city, including, how much public money, if any, would go into this project, if bonds would be taken out to fund it, which public body would take out those bonds, what taxes would be used to pay for them, and overall, how much the project would cost as a whole. We've got this $2 billion number from the Bears that the Sun-Times has been doing a great job of reporting out, but we don't know how much this project to create a brand new domed stadium south of Soldier Field would cost.
And Tessa and Mariah, remind us why the Bears were considering this move outside of the city in the first place.
Yeah.
And then now this shift back to the lakefront.
Yeah, well, the Bears have long complained about infrastructure improvements needed at Soldier Field, which is owned by the city. It's owned by the Chicago Park District. The Bears were also, they were considering Arlington Heights because in Arlington Heights, they would own the stadium. And so therefore they could make money off of other ticket sales. When you hold other events or concerts at Soldier Field, the Bears want to reap the benefits of that merch and ticket sale revenue and all the things that come along with buying things at a concert. So there is this question now is in this new publicly owned stadium, would the Bears get a cut of those revenue? Because that was a big reason. And then lastly, and potentially the biggest reason, is that they want a dome over the stadium.
Right.
A retractable dome to protect from winter weather and rain. That's like the fancy new thing.
Yeah.
And the Bears really want to see that happen. And so this would be a retractable dome. But yeah, many questions about in Arlington Heights, they were also going to develop around the stadium with bars and restaurants and all those sorts of things. And so would that happen here? We just don't know.
We don't know.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Do we know anything more about whether the team's stadium proposal can move forward? Can we consider this set in stone yet?
Well, no. I mean, we still haven't heard from the mayor on this, other than that they're looking forward to continuing to talk and, work out a deal with the Bears. But also there's this big question of what Friends of the Parks thinks about this proposal. Friends of the Parks is a group that works to preserve the lakefront.
Yeah.
Chicago has a lakefront protection ordinance that strictly prohibits private development on parts of the lakefront. That's what stopped the George Lucas Star Wars Museum in 2016, 2017.
Okay.
After Friends of the Park waged a war against George Lucas, and he actually, abandoned plans to build that museum in Chicago, took it to LA. And so that's been the big question is, can the Bears build? It seems like they're trying to work around that by one, making this a publicly owned stadium, and two, offering, tons of new green space and public access, which is the main concern of Friends of the Park. But Friends of the Parks did speak to the Sun-Times yesterday and said, we have many questions about this plan.
Yeah.
We're skeptical about this 20% figure of increasing public access or green space by 20%. And so whether this is going to face a lawsuit or a battle by lakefront protection advocates is still a major question.
It'll be interesting to watch. Well, before I let you ladies go, there are several committee meetings this week before the full council meets next week. Who's meeting and what are they discussing?
Everyone and their mother is meeting. There are many, many committee meetings this week ahead of next week's full city council meeting. Several Johnson administration commissioners are going to set to get their confirmation votes as he continues to build out his cabinet. The council is moving to create a rewards program for tips about illegal dumping on public land.
Okay.
The mayor is looking to pass his $1.25 billion borrowing plan that we've talked about on the show that would fund affordable housing and economic development. And that's set to get back on track after it was kind of banished to the council's rules committee by opponents when it was first introduced last month. And so many, many kind of things, small things to look out for as we have a full council meeting next week, the day after the election.
Oh, yeah. Not busy at all. That borrowing plan, though, Tessa, that $1.25 billion that Mariah just mentioned, it's up for a vote soon. Just remind us what it includes exactly.
Yeah, so this would be the city, you know, borrowing $1.25 billion, split up half and half for economic development and also to bolster affordable housing. And it relies on letting tax increment financing districts or TIF districts, which are very controversial, allowing a bunch of those to expire and then taking that recaptured revenue to pay this debt. You know, we'll see kind of how things progress. Already it was had a little bit of a hiccup where it was procedurally blocked and got sent to the Rules Committee. But the Johnson administration since last year has been briefing alderpersons on this. So, you know, the plan's announcement, you know, some of those details they were familiar with. And I think we'll have to see, you know, what those kinds of questions there are, as we start to get some more details on the specifics about how this financing tool would work, how it would be go in practice. And maybe, you know, we'll see how with Bring Chicago Home, how that plays out, if that affects, you know, this, as some folks have kind of tied the two together. So,
yeah. We'll leave it there for now. That's Tessa Weinberg and Mariah Wolfer. Mariah Wolfel.
Whatever you want to call yourself.
No, you're Mariah Wolfel. WBEZ City Government and Politics Reporters. And my friends, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. And it was edited by Meha Ahmed. Make sure to check back on the podcast this afternoon and subscribe to our newsletter so that you don't miss a thing. You can sign up for that at wbez.org/resetnews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.